AgriCover is celebrating 40 years. Roltec electric sharp conversions feature a rotating and telescoping motor mount to reduce stress with no mid-joint to fail. Multiple options available to accommodate auger and door configurations. Complete your setup with a waterproof AgriCover switch control that comes fully assembled with built-in overload protection. And don't get caught without an AgriCover emergency repair kit for tarp repairs on the go. For more information or to find a dealer near you, call 800-233-4655 or visit AgriCoverTarps.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council studio. One last blast here today, and it's a big one. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack appeared before the Senate Agriculture Committee this morning. The hearing was entitled Opportunities and Challenges Facing Farmers. Well, the opening statement by the secretary addressed the infant formula shortage and that crisis affecting mostly the WIC program, which is under USDA. And then Secretary Vilsack went on to say...
We also filed today an effort to try to create more new and better markets for our farmers. The beginning of a process on our Packers and Stockyards Act. We start with the poultry tournament rule. There are two components to what we have disclosed today. The first is an effort to try to create greater transparency between integrators and producers, providing additional information to the producer before they enter into contracts. It's modeled after the FTC franchisee disclosure efforts, and it's really designed to help producers be able to better value the costs and risks that they're taking in entering into a contract with an integrator. It allows them to manage that risk by knowing a bit more about who they're doing business with. We're requesting that the integrators provide information concerning the number of placements and the stock density, a history of payments under prior tournaments so that folks can understand and appreciate where they might be in the process, a bit of information about the background of the integrator, whether they've been in bankruptcy at any point in time, whether they're involved in litigation, and the ability of producers to be able to share that information with their financial advisors and those who are providing them legal assistance so that they're in the best possible position to understand and appreciate the risk. There will be an exemption for very small live poultry dealers in this proposal. In addition, we also have provided additional disclosures concerning the inputs that a farmer is receiving, both at the term of, at the time of placement and at the time of settlement. We want the farmer to be able to understand the breed, the facility that was breeding the stock, that they're being provided, the sex, the flock age, health issues that may have cropped up, and essentially at the time of settlement, understanding the distribution of inputs, the housing specifications, feed disruptions that may have impacted and affected the rankings. All of this is designed to avoid deception and to provide, again, farmers with the ability to understand precisely what they're getting into. 60-day comment period. We believe from our analysis that the benefits of transparency and additional disclosure exceed the costs. We will also be filing a study that was done on competition in the retail and seed area. We also are announcing today a $200 million effort to try to help existing meat and poultry facilities. It's an intermediary loan program. It's going to provide grants to co-ops, other nonprofit organizations, public agencies, to create revolving loan funds to assist and help those facilities to remain in business. We're announcing as well a $25 million effort to try to expand workforce through our NIFA programs. We think this is an opportunity to expand capacity. This goes along with the additional opportunities that we announced in terms of additional processing capacity. We received 263 applications for the $150 million grants that are available. It totals about $895 million of interest, 46 states, 111 beef applications, 33 poultry applications, 69 pork applications, 25 lamb, and 14 goat. The projected cost of all these projects is roughly $5 billion. So there's obviously great interest in this program. We also saw great interest in the Climate Smart Agriculture and Forestry Product Partnership Initiative. We received 450 applications, $18 billion in requests from all 50 states, a diverse pool of applicants, nonprofits, cooperatives, for-profit organizations, government entities, commodity groups, forest groups, tribes, universities, small and large corporations, a wide range of commodities involved. This is the first of two application deadlines. June 10th is our small application deadline. about $8 billion of additional leverage. So there's a tremendous interest in this program as well.
Those were the Secretary's opening remarks relating to farming. He then took questions from all the senators on the Senate Ag Committee, like North Dakota Senator John Hoeven.
I guess first time I want to bring up is Senator Klobuchar, Senator Hyde-Smith, myself, Senator, all of whom are on the Ag Committee, also Senator Kramer, and then House members, too, on a bipartisan basis, have sent you a letter in regard to the end date on crop insurance. Because of excess moisture, North Dakota, Minnesota, some other states, our farmers are butting up against that end date whereby if they don't have their crops in the ground, be it corn, soybeans, whatever it is, that then they suffer discounts on crop insurance, which then, of course, causes them to go to prevented plant. Well, because they become concerned about that discount. Well, obviously, at a time of food inflation, we want as many of them as possible planting a crop. And so the proposal to you is through CCC or one of our programs to actually offer to cover some of that discount so that they'll actually go ahead and try to get those crops in the ground even though they're going past that crop insurance end date. And so I think it's something to look at because it would actually save the USDA money, save the government money from the standpoint of you're not paying out more prevented plant, you're paying out less by covering that discount, and at the same time you get more crops in the ground to help with food inflation. So that's the proposal to you, but it's something you'd need to move on pretty quick if you're going to do something to help there because obviously they're getting those crops in the ground now and they have to make those decisions.
Senator, is this the letter that was sent yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I haven't had a chance to review it, and I'm happy to talk to our team about it. I think part of the challenge that we face whenever we get into this particular area is making sure that we don't compromise the relationship between the insurers and the producers. In terms of the overall crop insurance program, that we don't essentially create a circumstance where the risk is difficult for the crop insurance folks to be able to calculate. But I'm happy to take a look at what you all have written. And, we've exhibited in the past, we're more than happy to try to provide help and assistance where it makes sense.
Well, yeah, we appreciate that. And I did talk to members of your staff about it as well. And that's why we've pitched it in the format that we have so that you're not dealing with your insurance contracts and you don't run into any of those issues. So that's specifically why we've structured it the way we have. Appreciate your help and support and work on the disaster assistance. That we call it WIP Plus, but you have called it ERP, Emergency Relief Program, and also the Emergency Livestock Relief Program. Under ERP, phase one is out. Just a brief recap of how that's going and when you anticipate getting to phase two.
Well, on the crop side, there are roughly over 300,000 applications that are pre-filled that have gone out and are going out this week by Friday. All 300,000 will be in the hands of farmers. Pre-filled applications, so all they have to do is check a few boxes and sign it. There have already been a number of farmers that have come into the office and they've already received their checks. And I believe it's a matter of days. Once you basically file your application, you receive the resources. So that's the first phase, and we would expect the second phase sometime this summer after we've gotten a better understanding of precisely who wasn't covered by NAP, who wasn't covered by crop insurance, who wasn't covered by the livestock forage program, so that we would be in a position to be able to define the universe of that second tranche. But we wanted to get resources out as quickly as we could, and I think we've been able to accomplish that.
Appreciate your work on that and on the Emergency Livestock Relief Program, which we're working with you on as well. My other question, though, relates to Livestock Indemnity Program, LIP program. You and I talked about for those, you know, where they suffer mortality due to these blizzards is really in the smaller calves for the most part, that 250 pounds or less. We actually worked with our FSA director out in North Dakota, Marcy Svenningson, who is doing a fine job. And one of the ideas we talked about was combining those two smallest weight categories in terms of the reimbursement rate as something that would really work. The 250 pounds and less doesn't work. It just doesn't compensate the rancher for what they lost there. If you actually combine the two bottom of the four tiers, it probably would work. That was an idea she put forward. I thought a very good one. And so I want to pose it to you as well.
Well, as you know, there were changes made in 2020 to create a new category. And we're certainly committed to taking a look at realigning the categories if it makes sense. Happy to do that. I would say, just as a general proposition, the questions you're asking, Senator, I think raise my opportunity to say, when you're looking at Farm Bill, I tell you, this notion of disaster assistance, the notion of helping farmers through difficult times because of climate-related circumstances, there has got to be a real thought behind this in terms of the flexibility, in terms of the capacity to adjust depending upon conditions, because I think we're facing a much different set of circumstances than we have in the past relative to disaster. And I think your questions basically underscore that.
That is USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, who is under the bright lights and the scrutiny of every senator on the Senate Ag Committee this morning. And I guess he did a pretty good job winging it with a lot of facts and figures and thoughts and details on a lot of programs out there. And, of course, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven and also South Dakota Senator John Thune, Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith both gave him the serious questions. All right. Hey, we're going to come back and talk sunflowers next.